Hello, and thank you for listening to Call the Roll, a public affairs program produced by the Columbus City Council and aired here on Freedom FM. I'm your host, John Ivana, communications director for the Columbus City Council. On this week's show, 350 new jobs for Columbus and Arts Fest for the downtown. We begin with Contact Us. The company is now up and running at a new location on Columbus's west side. Contact Us is a business call center that uses speech and desktop analytics to help market products and services for its customers. The company has purchased and renovated some 100,000 square feet of office space along Fischinger Road in a former grocery store site in the Mill Run area. The site will be home to 350 new employees. At the ribbon cutting for Contact Us was Development Committee Chair Councilmember Michelle M. Mills.
Inside, when you addressed the company and the guests, you talked about the importance of adding not just a few, but 350 jobs to the Columbus economy.
Yes, again, it is extremely important that we look at employment for our citizens, but we also look at what employment does for our city as a whole. There is no isolated solutions to improving and continuing to grow our city. They're all interdependent. Employment is dependent on our safety, our education system. All of those are interdependent and all are a part of how we increase the quality of life in the city of Columbus. And this is one giant step towards increasing employment opportunities, doing a lot about how our folks make the decision to remain residents in the city of Columbus. And as long as they're gainfully employed, we can increase our resident numbers, which is a way to continue to drive up quality of life.
Just a few months ago, there weren't 300 some cars going every day through this area, this development. And that certainly has to be a good thing for businesses that are close by.
Oh, absolutely. The traffic makes all of the business grow and stay remaining, so we don't have any more vacant outlots in the same strip mall because there's high traffic, and so that may make an economic change for a lot of the businesses. And as a chair of development, all of that, the economic drive and employment, all of that is all interdependent. And so the traffic for Contact Us, whether it's the employees or whether it's some of the other folks who are using the businesses, are all coming and going in this area, and that always helps. We don't need another strip mall that is struggling to keep its doors open. In addition to that, I want to also point out the opportunity for increasing group transportation. I want to encourage that. As also the chair of environment, want to talk about group transportation and the close proximity of which some of the employees work. I see carpools as a great opportunity, and car and ride sharing as an opportunity. Also, when you're talking a concentration of 350 folks, you can begin those kind of conversations because it makes more sense, so we can lower emissions in the city as well.
Speaking of making sense, this development for Contact Us made sense because it was an adaptive reuse of basically a shell of a building that they were easily able to convert into a call center.
Yes, reuse and not demolition. I love reuse. Reuse is how we have to look at whether it's residential properties or commercial properties. It's the way to go as opposed to demolition.
And the city was able to help make this development possible. City, from a development standpoint, always looking to work with businesses to help fulfill their needs, just like they fulfill the cities and the communities.
Absolutely. Under the leadership of Director Shoney, making sure and the support of all my fellow council members to offer incentives that we can to businesses like Contact Us, really make sure that we can increase our economic growth in the city of Columbus. And so that incentive that we approved on a Monday, bright sunny Monday, makes it a bright sunny future for the city of Columbus.
That was Councilmember Mills. The city of Columbus has entered into a jobs growth incentive agreement with Contact Us to make the $4 million development a reality. From Contact Us is their president, Trevor Friesen.
Contact Us is obviously looking to differentiate itself in the marketplace. We don't want to be a traditional call center company. We want to create great jobs. We want to have high quality. We want to provide value to our customers. And we want to be industry leading in technology. We've got a great speech analytics program. We have a great development team. And we've been doing things for our customers that are unlike any other call center solution or call center company that would be unable to provide the same solutions that we do.
Why was this location important for Contact Us?
It's a key location. It's actually central to a lot of the local amenities, has a great employee base that we can pull from, and transportation has been making it very easy for our customers and our employees to get into the location.
How is the City of Columbus able to help Contact Us make this call center a reality?
Well, the City of Columbus has been really great. They've been willing to work with us, providing some incentive for us to grow. also assisting with a lot of the employment development or economic development initiatives.
I'm sure that the market was very competitive for Contact Us. What are you looking for when you look to partner with the community to help your business grow?
We look for cooperation. The first thing we want to do is make sure that we have assistance from the city so that we can get the proper transportation in, whether it's a bus line or whether we have some kind of incentive, whether that be tax credits or incentives from a training standpoint in economic and economic development.
City of Columbus has again received the highest possible credit rating from all three major credit rating agencies. Moody's Investor Services, Fitch, and Standard & Poor's have all affirmed the city's AAA credit rating. Columbus continues to be the only city of its size to enjoy the top credit rating and a positive financial outlook from all three rating agencies. With more on the announcement is Finance Committee Chair Councilmember Priscilla R. Tyson.
I'm proud to announce that last week Columbus has again received the highest possible credit rating from all three major rating agencies. And this comes in advance of our city's bond sale, which is scheduled for this Wednesday on June the 4th, which council recently passed legislation authorizing the sale of $321.5 million in general obligation funds. So Moody's Investor Services, Fitch, and Standard & Poor's have all affirmed the city's AAA credit rating. So I want to congratulate Auditor Dorian, Finance Director Paul Rakowski, and their teams, including Megan Kilgore, Rob Newman, Kyle Sieverhart, and all the others who have participated in working very diligently on ensuring that, one, we would continue to move forward, and all the directors, because certainly many of your departments are certainly in those meetings and when we're on those bond calls and the work that you do each and every day. So I also want to congratulate the mayor and also this council, because this leadership team is one of the reasons why we have received this rating. The other factors besides us having a strong management team and receiving this rating are we have a deep and diverse economy. We also have an improved financial flexibility, and we have moderate long-term debt obligations. This is major for our city, and it saves us lots of money. And so I'm just very, very proud that we again have gotten the AAA bond rating. So thank you, Mr. Dorian. You just got that other award, and this just tops it all off. So thanks so very much.
The Columbus City Council has approved the purchase of 10 custom-built fire trucks for the Division of Fire to help keep residents and property safe. The new vehicles, worth just over $5.8 million, will help maintain a modern fleet on the streets. From the Department of Public Safety is Assistant Director Dan Giangardella and Safety Committee Chair Councilmember Zach Klein.
Purchasing these engines, which would be 10 engines, enables us to replace about one-third of our frontline engine fire apparatus, which, along with medics, is really the bread and butter of providing services to our community. This also continues the momentum that council and the mayor in providing the safety division with capital dollars to continue replacing these vehicles and keeps the fire service in excellent condition with respect to their frontline vehicles. So we appreciate this ordinance and request, obviously, your approval this evening. Thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Director. Certainly, the nothing stands more important to the City of Columbus and this council than the safety of our residents and providing the most effective and efficient technology to provide that safety for the health and welfare of our residents is necessary to achieve that goal.
The Columbus City Council continues to support innovative ways to build small businesses in our community. Small and Minority Business Development Committee Chair Councilmember A. Troy Miller recently sponsored legislation to fund the 2014 versions of Kickstart and Kickstart Widget Pitch competitions. Here's Councilmember Miller.
The Kickstart is a business plan competition that actually awards various prizes related to business development, and that includes free sponsor provider lease space in downtown retail space. The Kickstart Widget Pitch is actually a competitive contest where businesses can actually compete in front of a panel of investors for potential private funding. And this is something that I think that we look at for the Columbus downtown market for retail space. This has been quite successful last year with actually four contestants winning. Actually, two of those winners are actually in the process of being actually on the ABC Shark Tank national show. So we're pulling for them to get on that show, but we also will be looking at two more retail space downtown that will be businesses will be competing for in 2014. So I'm certainly looking forward to that.
The downtown riverfront is full of art. The 2014 Columbus Arts Festival is running through Sunday afternoon. This is one of the premier events anywhere in the Midwest and the city of Columbus. With more on the event from the Greater Columbus Arts Council is Vice President of Marketing, Communications, and Events, Jamie Goldstein.
Council President Ginther and all of City Council, we are grateful for your ongoing support of the Greater Columbus Arts Council. And of course, I think you all know that the Arts Council's mission and a very important part of it is to provide access to the arts for all. And one of the biggest and best ways we do that is through the Columbus Arts Festival. This year, it will be its 53rd year of bringing the best in fine art and craft to the city of Columbus. The Arts Festival turns our beautiful downtown riverfront into a stunning outdoor art gallery, showcasing the work of nearly 300 of the nation's top artists. And it is this weekend, June 6th through the 8th. The Arts Festival has been rated by American Style and Sunshine Artist Magazine as one of the top festivals in the nation for many years. And each year it hosts hundreds of juried artists, as well as artists from right here in Ohio and artist collectives. We have music, poetry, community performance stages, hands-on activities, exhibitions of local student artwork and local artist collectives, a wide selection of food from the city's favorite restaurants and food trucks, as well as beverages. And this all rounds out Columbus's favorite outdoor summer event and welcome to summer event. This year, the Arts Festival has expanded its presentation of experiences to offer dance, design, and film, and a little bit more. We have the Art of Film tent, which will be a 50-seat air-conditioned theater tent located at Rich and Washington, which we're presenting in partnership with the Columbus Film and Video Council, the Columbus Film Council, the Gateway Film Center, and WOSU Public Media. For the first time, Columbus Arts Festival is partnering with Canstruction, a unique charity that hosts competitions, exhibitions, and events showcasing colossal structures made entirely out of cans of food. Local teams of designers from Design Group Architects, Gilbane Inc., Schooley Caldwell Associates, King Business Interiors, and Cornucosing are going to create the breathtaking life-size sculptures that you'll see on the festival grounds this weekend. After the festival, all of the cans of food, which have been generously provided by Kroger, will be donated to the Mid-Ohio Food Bank. We're getting nearly 50,000 cans of food, which the Mid-Ohio Food Bank tells us, shockingly, only provides about half a day's of worth of relief of hunger to the families that they serve. Also new this year, we have the Piatta Italian Street Painting, which is an engaging art form that involves reproductions and adaptations of famous paintings, as well as original work created in chalk by artists on the sidewalk at the festival. We'll have $1,500 worth of prizes for artists in that event. And finally, we are adding dance to the festival. So we will have a dedicated dance stage all weekend. You'll be able to see groups such as Columbus Celtic Dancers, Chesane West African Dance Institute, Transit Arts, and Columbus Youth Ballet. And we'll festival audiences will get to enjoy some of the best festival, best dance performers in the city. As you may know, the Arts Festival uses no public funds. It's completely privately supported by sponsors, booth fees, and beverage sales, but I would be terribly remiss if I didn't offer our heartfelt thanks to the support that we receive from the City of Columbus, the love that you show us here at City Council, the support from the mayor, the great partnerships with Public Works and the Columbus Recreation and Parks, with particular thanks to Director McKnight and Jason Nicholson, and of course, the fabulous Columbus Police Department. We could not have made the Columbus Arts Festival one of the top festivals in the country without your support and partnership, and we thank you greatly. Thank you for helping us to enable the Arts Festival to make its unique contribution to the culture of our city, the economy of our city, and for encouraging residents and visitors to attend and participate in the festival.
Columbus's Charter Review Commission will be meeting later this month to discuss possible revisions to the city's most important governing document. We'll have more on that meeting time and date a little later on, but first I want to share with you a clip of Assistant City Attorney Josh Cox, who testified before the commission and helped frame the discussion surrounding the charter and what it means to our community during an earlier commission meeting.
I want to start with just, and I don't mean this to be talking down to anybody, but I think it helps to put it in context of the structure of governments that we might be more familiar with in terms of what, where the charter fits into that process. On the federal level, you, of course, have the U.S. Constitution, which establishes the structure and the form of government that vests the legislative power in the Congress. Similarly, at the state level, you have the Ohio Constitution, which likewise establishes the structure of government and vests the legislative power in the General Assembly. Similarly, the Charter is the equivalent of those two documents for the city in that it establishes the basic framework of city government and best legislative power in city council. Now, granted, the U.S. and Ohio constitutions are broader governing documents and contain a lot more subjects. However, and the charter is more limited, but the essential purpose is the same. The charter is to, as the city attorney mentioned last time, is to establish the framework of the city's governmental organization and control the exercise of the power of local self-government as authorized by the Ohio Constitution. So if we're looking at what is appropriate for a charter as opposed to an ordinance, keep in mind that there's the general prohibition that neither an ordinance nor a charter provision can be in conflict with the Ohio or the U.S. Constitution. But other than that, there really is no bright line test as to what can or cannot be in the charter. And I'll use the state as an example. In the state, you have casinos, which are addressed in the Ohio Constitution. And in the Ohio Constitution, it covers everything from tax rates, locations, licensing fees, investment requirements, distribution of proceeds, very detailed coverage of those issues, all relating to that single subject. Contrast that with video lottery terminals at racetracks, racinos. That's one line in the Constitution generally authorizing lotteries, and the rest of those provisions are addressed in the revised code. Since it's in the revised code, it's subject to periodic changes and adjustments by the General Assembly as they deem appropriate. And contrast that with casinos, where we wanted to change a parcel number, we had to amend the Ohio Constitution, which, as Representative Curtin remembers, was a arduous process. And I think that just illustrates the example. There's nothing illegal about putting that level of detail in the Constitution, but it's really a question of what's appropriate for the governing document of the governmental entity. So our advice, the city attorney's advice, as to what's appropriate for the charter versus an ordinance is, particularly as to additions to the charter, if it's matter that can be legislated under the current charter, it should not be placed in the charter. And I'll illustrate that with a couple of examples. One, a provision that's already in the charter, and then another hypothetical addition. The city attorney mentioned last time the residency provision, which is in the charter. Because that's in the charter, the change in the state law as interpreted by the Supreme Court and upheld by the Supreme Court, or as passed by the General Assembly and as upheld by the Supreme Court, allows municipalities to make some provision for residency. But that's not something that the city can currently do because that provision's in the charter. Now, it doesn't mean that whether that's appropriate or whether that's something that the city wants to do or not do. The point is that currently, because it's in the charter, there's nothing we can do to address that issue in response to changes by the General Assembly absent amendment of the charter. So that's a provision that I would argue, as other cities have done, is if it's appropriate to be addressed, it's appropriate to be addressed by ordinance rather than placing something of that specificity in the charter. If you wanted to add something, say, to add a department or an office to the charter, that's something that currently the city council has the authority to do under the existing provisions of the charter. We'll note that only two departments are mentioned in the charter, public service and public safety. All the other departments have been created by ordinance, by council. So there's currently flexibility to do that. So there wouldn't be any reason to put additional departments into the charter. So just by way of illustration, those are a couple examples that I have. Hopefully that's helpful and as you move forward, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
I want to test my memory to some extent here, but Mr. Cox, when our charter is silent in any areas where the charter is silent, but the area is spoken to by either the Ohio Constitution or the Ohio Revised Code, are we then subject to, and in effect must follow, the Ohio Revised Code in instances where we don't speak to an item ourselves in the charter?
Well, there are two parts to that answer to that question. First, we're always governed by provisions of the Ohio Constitution, the U.S. Constitution. Can't do anything in the charter or ordinances that conflict with that. So those provisions are always going to govern in any conflict situation. We have a provision in the charter, section 232, which deals with general laws being applicable to the city. And I'll just read that to save you digging it up. All general laws of the state applicable to municipal corporations now or hereafter enacted, and which are not in conflict with the provisions of this charter or with ordinances or resolutions hereafter enacted by City Council, shall be applicable to the city, provided, however, that nothing contained in this charter shall be construed as limiting the power of the City Council to enact any ordinance or resolution not in conflict with the Constitution of the state or with the express provisions of this charter. So that basically says general laws of the state which are not in conflict with something that the city has already passed or applicable to the city.
The next Charter Review Commission meeting is set for June 11th at 1 o'clock here in City Hall Conference Room 225 on the second floor of City Hall. All commission meetings are open to the public. Suggested charter changes have to be approved by the City Council first, then the residents of Columbus before they take effect. Columbus's Public Service Department has undergone a process to streamline their structure and deliver the best possible city services to residents. Director Tracy Davies briefed council members on the moves and says, although some of the names and faces have changed, the mission will remain the same.
Our goal with the restructuring is to continue improving the efficiency and effectiveness of the department on several fronts, including improving the efficiency and timeliness of project delivery by consolidating scoping, design, and construction of the department's capital improvement program into one single division, realigning staff resources and priorities into one division to better manage and maintain assets, including pavement, bridges, sidewalks, bicycle facilities, and other infrastructure, consolidating traffic and parking management and operations into one division to better balance mobility needs and support neighborhoods and businesses, supporting the leadership of the mayor and city council for greener and sustainable infrastructure and programs coordinated under a new assistant director of sustainability, integrating pedestrian and bicyclist friendly planning and programming in all Department of Public Service projects and programs, creating greater opportunities for personnel advancement and improving succession planning. The ordinance before city council retains the refuse collections and design and construction divisions. It abolishes the mobility options and planning and operations divisions and creates the division of infrastructure management and the division of traffic management. There will be no layoffs with the reorganization, and only 2% of the department personnel will be directly affected with this restructuring. With the reorganization, we will seek to better align program and operational needs with the talents and strengths of our personnel. We respectfully request that council waive second reading so the new department structure can be in place by July 1st. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Director Davies. It's very important to know that you spent a lot of time on this reorganization and that you did a very good job of explanation for the reasons for this reorganization. And I think that's one of the things that I've been promoting since I've been on council is making sure that the city runs very effective and also efficiently. And I believe this reorganization is a reflection of that.
We are out of time for this edition of Call the Roll. If you have a question or a comment, please email us at calltheroll@columbus.gov. That's callthe@columbus.gov. Don't forget you follow the Columbus City Council on our Facebook and our Twitter pages. On behalf of the entire Columbus City Council, I'm your host, John Ivanek. Thanks for listening to Freedom FM, and have a great weekend.